Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, we're going to travel a little bit through Galatians today in several places. But our text today, our main point that we're going to be focusing on is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And we are going to call this message, Grace Through Faith Equals Fruit. Grace through faith equals fruit. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're just going to read that one verse. We're going to travel several places today. Grace through faith equals fruit. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, recumbrance, remembrance, renewal, repentance, rest. Let these things be ours today as we know that they are. By grace, let them live in us through faith. This we pray for God's glory, Father, Son, and Spirit, in the name, in the authority of our High Priest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to get right to it here. I want to answer five questions that Christians almost always ask. Five questions that Christians ask, and you'll recognize them surely. Now, the answer to the first four is basically the same thing. It's a set of scriptures, and it's an idea, a concept, a theological idea. The answer is always the same for these four things, but there's a fifth question that these four questions bring. Once I bring the answer to these four questions, and you understand that, then you're going to ask in your heart, yeah, but okay, but how does that happen? You know, okay, I get it. This is what God wants me to be. This is what God wants to do. Well, what now? Right? I'm saved. What now? Right? We read our text this morning from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. You've been saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Right? It's not of works. And so we see salvation there, grace through faith. Grace, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, providing us redemption and reconciliation. And we access that through faith. Even that's a gift. Grace through faith. That's salvation. But what does it say there in verse 10? It says, but we have been saved unto good works, right? That would be sanctification, our growing in grace. That would be like the fruit of the Spirit, these wonderful things. We are predestined to be conformed into the image of who? Of Jesus Christ. But by grace through faith you are saved, and you are saved unto good works. I mean to tell you that by grace through faith is how we live the sanctified life. And I'm going to show you some of that today. So we're going to just bullet through these first four questions very quickly, because the answer is always the same. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I'll just go ahead of myself and say the answer to all these questions is the fruit of the Spirit. Every one of the questions that I'm going to ask, 1 through 4, is the fruit of the Spirit. But then, how does that happen? This could be very, very helpful for you that don't know the Lord Jesus to see Him today. Also for those that He seems to be living little in you to be living large in you today. And so the questions I'll ask at the end is, has it become real to you? Can you say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is not I who live, right? But Christ who lives in me. And the life I live, see, he said, it's not I that live, but then he says, the life I live. What's that? Then the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith in the Son of God who loved me. We had a saying, a song this morning, said, He loved me. Well, you know, it's not just the love, it's the type of love. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Like, we love certain people, but we can't help them. Christ was able to help us, not just by loving us, but by loving us to the point of the cross. And somebody needs to say, me. He gave Himself for me. Sometimes it's okay to say, me. As long as we put it in view of He. Okay? So I'll ask you at the end, has it become real? Is it becoming more real? And do you want it to be real? You see, we see this what Paul's saying. We think, oh, it's Paul. Or we see this, we say, I don't understand it. Faith doesn't understand everything. It acts on grace. And we're going to get there. Are we in Galatians chapter 5? Somebody say amen. We have plenty of time. I'm going to give you some physical object lessons. This is going to be a caper. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. Boy, you can look at verses 19 through 21, but I'll start with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I memorized that in the King James Version, you know. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The same things. I like the word temperance because it means your temper. Hello. And everyone said, oh me. Against such there is no law. Now look at verses 24 and 25. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have. Not are supposed to. Have. But I'm not living. Have. But it's just not have. Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I must not be saved. Hold on. See, this is going to bring comfort and conviction to you today. Comfort for the wounded soul. Conviction for the lazy soul. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also then walk by the Spirit. We're seeing grace and faith there. Grace plus faith equals fruit. So where's the first question? Again, we're going to go through these because this isn't really the point of the message. The point is to get to that fifth question. What does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to be spiritual? Now, a lot of people would have us believe that that has to do with like walking around in a cloud. You know, they're sort of superstitious. They're spooky. They're nothing but otherworldly. Oh, such as though that are born of the Spirit. Oh, I'm spiritual. I'm spiritual. And they're weird. And I put up a mirror before saying that. But you look at somebody, you're a brand new Christian, and you think, oh, they're spiritual. And they seem so mystical. And they say cryptic things like, ooh, the kingdom principles. Tell me what that means. What are you talking about? And I've done that. And they start using language. Take it to the cross. What do you mean? And there's real language behind that, real things behind both those statements. But the point is, some people are just so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. And so they see mystical. We see mystical things. We think, ooh, they're able to tell me how much money's in my wallet. Or, ooh, you know, they can prophesy. Look, you know, I'm going to win in the end. I'm in the Lamb's Book of Life. I got my prophecy right there. Oh, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the move of God. I'm not going to miss nothing. Right? I'm already stamped. I'm already signed, sealed, and I'm going to be delivered. Amen. I have been. I am being, and I will be. Well, this just preaches so much, I got to get moving here. Often new converts are drawn into stray practices, unbiblical at that, wanting to be more spiritual like so-and-so, and again, they end up getting weird. They follow every new fad, and their faith stays shallow, relying on experience rather than getting grounded in the Word of God. Too many feel they got to go with the flow, that Christianity is a form of feeling rather than belief in a set of propositions. Because your feelings are going to fail you, let me tell you. People think, if you're not, you know, you got to do this, you got to be, or you won't be going with the flow, you won't be growing in God and all that. That's simply not the case. Oh, but I saw this supernatural, so what? Supernatural, operating in supernatural is spiritual activity. Spiritual activity. But to be more spiritual means to be more like Jesus. How do we know that? Paul explains in no uncertain terms what being with Jesus and being like Him looks like. He says the fruit of the Spirit is. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means to be like Jesus. What is Jesus like? Love, joy, right? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what Jesus is like. He says the fruit of the Spirit is. So the answer to what does it mean to be spiritual? It means to be like Jesus. It means to be exhibiting, right, the character, the fruit of the Spirit. When we live in a real relationship with our Savior, you start to take on His character, showing the fruit of the Spirit, replacing your old bad traits with godliness. To be spiritual is to be transformed into the image, in other words, read character of Jesus Christ. People say being spiritual means doing the power works of Jesus. No, being spiritual means doing the faithfulness of Jesus. Second question. Again, I know we're moving through these quickly because it's not the main point of the message. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Same answer. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, the question really is more about what Jesus did, and not what we do. That's what we're going to see in this message here. Growth is a matter of understanding what He's done for you, not what you need to do for Him. Again, people use that as a slogan. What would Jesus do? There's a lot of things that He would do that you're not supposed to do. And it's better rendered, what would Jesus have us to do? Either way, the answer is the same. In all cases, Jesus would have us do whatever is loving, joyful, peaceful, etc. Spiritual formation. Is Peter here? Where are you? Talking about the other one. Our seminary guy. No. Spiritual formation. Do a paper on spiritual formation. Well, spiritual formation, whether it comes through the practice of spiritual disciplines or through your life experience, is only as good, only effective to the degree that it bears this fruit. Well, I can do this and I know my Greek and I know my Hebrew. You can know Hebrew and not be holy. You can know Greek and not know God. You can know all the Bible and still be belligerent. See if I can make up another one. Right? You can know all the rules and still not be repentant. There we go. Point is what are we aiming for? To be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against that. Law doesn't equal that. This is fruit of the Spirit. Now, we can counterfeit those things. The world counterfeits those things. Love is sentimentality or their own projection of their best feelings. Joy is thrill. Peace is, tranquility instead. Let me tell you something about peace. Peace is not the lack of conflict. Peace is in the face of conflict. Amen. What does it mean to be spiritual? Be like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. What would Jesus do? He would act like the fruit of the Spirit acts. Number three, how does something line up with the Word? We say, oh, it's got to line up with the Word, brother. It's got to line up with the Word. What do you mean by that? Am I supposed to know every single verse and every single principle? Or can I get an overall big picture view? Anybody said it? Well, it's got to agree with the Word. It's got to agree with the Word. Well, then we don't know enough words, so they can pass anything by us. You can't be expected to memorize the Scriptures in their entirety as a young believer. You don't always have all the biblical knowledge on a certain matter. So how do you know if something's in agreement? Well, here's one test. The qualities of the Spirit of Christ are the filter by which we judge these things. Everybody awake? Hello? If something seems to have one or not all of these, but not all of these, it's either not from God or it's not His best. Well, it seems to be this one thing, but it doesn't do these other things. The fruit of the Spirit is. It's all one long thing. It's all one long thing. They're really just the qualities of love in there. This is what is meant when people say things got to pass through the Bible or some experience has got to line up with the Word. There's a simple test for you right there. Fourth one. All right, again, what does it mean to be spiritual? What would Jesus do? How does something line up with the Word? Fourth question. How do you stay in God's will? I want to stay in God's will. You know you're out of God's will if it's not love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And if it is, then you're on the right track. Living like a son would. That's how others, including non-believers, know that you're of Christ. By their fruits ye shall know them. Now, having said that, are you ready? Again, let's look back at verse 24 and 25. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have. Somebody say have. Sounds like past tense, doesn't it? Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You mean we did that? We didn't do that. Christ did that. If we live by the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. We have the principle and the practice. The principle is grace. Grace. Somebody say grace. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, its passions and desires. That is the indicative. It is a past tense. It has happened. It is grace. Do we understand that? Indicative. It indicates something that is true. The imperative means something that we have to do. Something that we're supposed to do. Okay? The principle is grace, the practice is faith. Verse 25, if this is so, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. This is the truth, verse 24, and then the trust, verse 25. Is everybody with me? I hope so. Now, thinking about these first four questions, and then verse 24 and 25, this leads us to our fifth question, the most practical. I already give you the answer. I already have given you the answer. What's the answer to the question I'm about to ask? Living by grace through faith. And that's not just about salvation, but sanctification. We're born again, and then we have to go through the growing process. Can you hear me? We're born again, then we grow. Again, look at Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go ahead and turn there if you're not there. Verse 8. For by grace, there's grace, right? You have been saved through faith. We know that salvation is God's grace comes to us. We accept that by faith. And even then it says, this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. Like, you do all this wonderful stuff, then grace comes to you because you're such a good guy. No. Now it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you have salvation, but then we're already saved by grace through faith. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's what? That's sanctification. That's growing in grace. Again, Romans 8:29 says we are predestined to be conformed into his image. We're saved, right? But we begin transforming into his image. So what's the question I'm asking you? How does this fruit bearing happen? How does it happen? Our text, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. No verse, are you listening to me? No verse more clearly frames what each of us should affirm for ourselves today and every day. The cross of Christ is not some, now listen to me, I'm getting a little theological for you. The cross of Christ is not just some distant historical fact. Oh, Jesus died on the cross for me. It's an event that we were part of. You've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it again many times. The old spiritual says, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Your answer has got to be, yes. We were there personally, directly, and powerfully. So when Paul says Christ was crucified, he says that Christ crucified him also. The doctrine of our union with Christ is what that's called. And from God's word, it means that every single Christian who was there, every single Christian was also crucified with Jesus on the cross. He knew who was coming. He was dying for them. They were crucified with him. Now, four things to remember in making this a reality, in realizing this. Because that's the point, right? We see this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we see one or two of those things, we think, well, yeah, I know that. But then we see the Apostle Paul says, I'm not that. How does this happen? Well, there's something that we go through as we do this. As this becomes more real in our life, we realize that it is real. And then, Israel? And then, we make it ours. So I alliterated these four R's. Are you ready? That's all you got to pay attention to. Four R's. You ready? First one. Well, we have to realize that we could say remind. Remind. In other words, receive or rehearse. First phrase. There's four phrases. I have been crucified with Christ. Let's all say it together. I have been crucified with Christ. We think, okay, that means Jesus died for my salvation. No, I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about a facet of that. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says it's a fact. I've already actually been crucified by God with Jesus Christ. God crucified me and I didn't do it myself. It happened and was completed in the past. Again, these first two phrases are the grace. The last two phrases are the faith. It's indicative. We remind ourselves, I have been crucified with Christ. It happened, it was completed in the past once for all, and never needs repeating. All my sins, past, present, and future, were placed upon him 2,000 years ago on that cross. Jesus died in my place, and I also died with him. So by Christ's death and mine with him, I have died to sin. I'm going to read Romans chapter 6. I'll go ahead and just read verses 4 through 11. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, We shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We read that, we say, yes, I know I'm going to rise again because Jesus rose again. But look what he says now. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. And we don't believe it. And that's what I'm telling you the problem is. It's not that we live, we do, and then we live. It's that we live and then we do. It's not a struggle to do, it's a struggle to believe. And we're going to get to that. Well, how can you're just saying, grit my teeth and bear it? No. I got four little points, we're getting there. The first one is remind yourself, I have been crucified with Christ. There's a definite thing that has happened. Let's continue. For if we have died with Christ, this is Romans 6:8, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's also a fact of history that the believer died with him. But we're not only dead to sin, we're also alive to Christ, as it said, which brings us to our next point, the next phrase. The first one, we realize it, we remind ourselves, I have been crucified with Christ. The next one, renew. You see, you remind your mind and then you renew your mind. You remind your mind about this truth. I've been crucified with Christ. So we renew our mind about this truth. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now look at the next phrase, and the life which I now live. So you see, there's a connection there. He's not saying just let go and let God. There's something going on here. This is grace. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We've been raised from the dead, and now we walk in the power of his resurrection. We don't think we do that because we're not renewing our minds around that. I'm going to give you a little object lesson in a minute here that should help you very much. So stay tuned. Amen. We walk in newness of life because we share his life. It's an exchange life. You say, but I don't feel the power. You don't have to feel it. You just got to live it. But that means I'm just trying harder. Hold on. Because that's the problem. That's the problem that people are trying to save themselves, and they think they know Jesus and all that, but they're trying to do something. This is just about doing something, understanding that Jesus has done something. That's why we can do something. And even if we can't do something, the things are still true about us. Hallelujah. It sets you free. The power of sin over me is death, hell. It's been defeated. It's not happening to me. I can choose to live the old way now and feel some of that corruption now like my old man, or I can walk, as it says, in newness of life. But just to do it is not just to grit your teeth and try harder. You've got to learn this thing. I have been crucified with Christ. So therefore, I renew my mind around that. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There is a real power by the Holy Spirit in you to live the Christian life, to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You don't produce it on your own. It happens as you yield yourself to God. We remind ourselves, then we renew our minds. Christ's life is what I'm now to live, not my own. Now, there's a little problem there. It's called sin. Sin wants to be our master. It tries just to get us to act like our old nature. It always seeking to control us, and sometimes it does. But in Jesus Christ, we died to sin. You say, but I still sin. But by grace, we are dead to sin. I have been crucified with Christ. The old nature was crucified. Christ's strength is what I now draw upon, not my own. Paul wasn't describing, now listen to me, because a lot of people say, so you're just saying do stuff. That's all you're saying. You're still saying do stuff. It's what the stuff you're doing that matters. It's the believing. Paul was not describing an experience you should try to emulate or strive for. And a silence went out because no one understood. Paul was not describing an experience that you're trying to emulate or strive for. He was stating a it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives with me. You say, but I don't live perfectly. I'm not talking about living perfectly. I'm talking about you're taking Christ to that place. You get my point now? He's not saying, the grace, I've been crucified with Christ, hallelujah. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me, amen. Then he gets to the next part. But you got to see the grace before you do the faith. People want to do the faith and think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I resolve. But they're not doing it based on the grace of Christ, which means that even if you resolve and you fall down, he's still going to do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. All this is just walking in newness of life and seeing the providence of God and growing in the grace, but the grace will still be there because you did not earn it. He loved you, gave Himself for you, even when you didn't care at all. But then He brought you to Him and said, see, look who I am. And you go, I believe. I belong. And then when you're first Christian, you know that everything has been forgiven. And so you walk real easy towards the cross because it's like, hallelujah, Jesus is there. But then someone says, well, you know, you got to grow in grace. Or you got to stop doing this and stop doing that. No, you got to walk towards the cross and you'll stop doing that. We try so hard. And it's the same for me. I know. I forget this all the time. Remind ourselves, I have been crucified with Christ. Renew our minds. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. How does that practically happen? Let's get a little ahead of ourselves and say that it comes as we yield to Christ's control. You guys know Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't you? Let's just go ahead and read them. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, in other words, the gospel, you've been saved, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Obedience is worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? The renewal of your mind, that by testing, in other words, you live it out. You live out. You discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's not three different things. All it's saying is that you are walking the right way. Are you with me still? We've got time. Hallelujah. It is this simple. It can be a hard road, but we remind ourselves that it's not what we did, it's what He did. Then we can do what we need to do because He's done what He needs to be done, and He's going to do it for us even if we don't believe in it. Oh, I know. You lose your salvation, folks, are having a fit. Tough. Remind. Renew. Repent. Aha, now this is the one I need to hit because people think repent means you turn around and you go the right way, you do this and all that. Repentance is something God does. Your faith follows it. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. If God is giving you repentance, if you are walking towards Him, repent means I was turning this way, I was looking at myself, my problems and all that. Now I'm looking this way and I'm going that way. That's repentance and faith. It's the same coin. It's two sides of the same coin. Because look what He says here. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And He says, and the life which I now live in the flesh. What's He mean there? He's talking about now adding faith to this grace. Grace is I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So what happens? I live in the flesh, but I live by faith in the Son of God. Do you hear me? What kind of life is this? It's a life of faith. A saving faith leads to a living faith. Walking by faith. This is what it means to be walking in the Spirit. Paul didn't tell his readers to feel as if they were dead to sin or even to understand it fully, but to act on God's word and claim it personally. I'm walking by faith in the Son of God. Whoops, I fell down, but He's crucified me, and I'm not living, He's living. I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Oh, there's something I did it wrong again. Well, I'm not going to look at that and think that I'm not God. He died for me. He loved me. He crucified me. I'm turning around. I'm walking this way again because I have faith in the Son of God. That's what repentance and faith are right there. Yes, you will wind up changing. Yes, it's a turn that changes you because you're getting closer to the cross and stuff starts falling off. So it does happen. Grace through faith equals fruit. Grace is what's producing the fruit, but faith is what realizes it. Remind ourselves, I've been crucified with Christ. Renew our minds. It's no longer I live who, but Christ who lives in me. Repent. The life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. Again, Paul doesn't tell his readers to feel like they feel. You know, like they're dead to sin. I feel like I'm dead to sin. I feel so good. Sometimes we feel like sin. Or even to understand it fully, but act on God's word and claim it personally. God does not command us to become dead to sin. He tells us that we are dead to sin and alive to God and then commands us to act on it. Do it like you mean it. Do it like you believe it. Jesus came down and said, you, Mr. 45 years old, heavy, bald, are going to dunk a basketball, and I have given you the grace to do it, then I would say, yee-haw, my faith would go at that basket and attack it. You know, now sometimes my faith says, man, oh boy, and I know I get 2 feet off the air. I mean, if I'm lucky, you know, and I'm about 6 foot, 7 foot up there, woohoo, Nerf ball, right? And so I fall down. So what do? Instead of saying, oh, I'm not this, I'm not that, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, I'm going to continue to walk that way. I live by faith in the Son of God. He loves me. He gave Himself for me. We're going to see this backwards and forwards so you can get this today. Somebody, amen. We are dead to sin. We are alive unto God. We're just supposed to act on that. Even if we don't act on it, the truth is still the truth. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. We walk towards this truth, repentance and faith. Repentance just means we've changed our mind about ourselves, about God, what we're doing. And when we turn away a little bit and we're getting in sin and stuff like that, we just return and look this way. And then we walk that way. God's not going to strike me down. God's not going to kill me. God loves me. I may have to have some restitution, some you know, there's some sinful penalty. I have corruption and all that. But I'm walking towards God because He loved me and He gave Himself for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Grace, the first clause, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Faith, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So remind, renew, repent, and hallelujah, the last one, rest. Rest. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ loved me. But to get me into heaven, He had to give Himself for me. That truth should course through the heart and mind of every believer. We need to remember over and over again that the past work of Christ's death on the cross saved me and keeps me to the only God. We sang it this morning from the book of Jude. Who is able to keep us from falling unless we don't do what He wants. And then we turn that mind in our mind about able and think it doesn't matter to us. And that's not what He means by able. He says He's going to do it. He's able to do it. Not able to do it if you do what's right. You believe that He's done what's right. You get better by taking the remedy, which is the gospel. Hallelujah. Again, we need to remember over and over again that the past work of Christ's death on the cross saves me and keeps me. Then you're free to fly. Then you have the bumper pads on. Then you have the bumper things on for the bowling. You just roll down the aisle. You're not going to get a gutter. You may not do as good as you want to, but you're not going in the gutter. You're in! And Mommy and Daddy are waiting there saying, oh, you got 1,000. You're the most wonderful bowler of all time. What's the point? Is you love them and you want them to experience this thing, and they're in the good hands. Christ's work in the past means I can work in His power in the present. Christ's work in the past means that I can work in His power in the present. Again, we can look at these four phrases backwards. Because He loved Himself and gave Himself for me, I can live the life that I'm living right now by faith in the Son of God. And so it's no longer I'm who living, but Christ who's living for me. I've been crucified with Christ. You see it frontwards and backwards? So I got my, we got the big cross in here in this church. And I was going to give a little illustration here. And I want to just show you these things right off. So, I've been crucified with Christ. We're looking at the cross. We're realizing, thank God, Jesus saved me. And I was there. It is finished, it says on our cross. The final sacrifice. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We remind ourselves. There it is in front of us. The cross in front of us, right? I remind myself, I've been crucified with Christ. There it is, right in front of us. We renew our minds around that truth. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so now I'm walking here, and I got the cross in front of me. And something else gets in the way of thinking, woo, she's a hottie, you're married. I've been crucified with Christ. Oh, I could cheat a business and get $50,000. Whoop. I have been crucified with Christ. Boy, I can never stop that kind of thing. Boy, I'll never stop. Jesus, I've been crucified with Christ. It means you're saved. So you keep it in front of you. You remind yourself. You get off track. What you got to remind yourself is, Satan, you can't have me. My destination is heaven. So my destiny, the path laid out before me, is holiness. And so we renew our minds around it. So we get better at it. Yeah, we get better at it. It is true. Yes. But how do we get better at it? By focusing on what we're doing wrong or by focusing on what He's done right? That's the difference. Can everybody get that? You got the whole message. There it is. Goodbye. the gospel. There's a secret and ironic power, which we're going to discuss a little more. And then we repent. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That looks so good. No, I have faith in the Son of God. This is going to be better. Oh, but everything's so bad in my marriage right now. Yes, but I have faith in the Son of God. He's going to do what's right no matter what it is. I'm going that way, baby. Oh, but I got to focus on this, that, and the other thing, my health and my wealth and my this and my this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He's going to do me right. Not according to my own measures, but according to His. That's why we got to renew our mind around this thing. Because it's the life He wants to live, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, are we not? How does this happen? You got to keep walking towards Christ, and it keeps happening. It keeps producing. And then rest. You know? Boy, you know, and then we get it back in our sight, and then, whew, hallelujah. The cross is before me, and I can lean on the everlasting arms. Woo! Hallelujah. Everybody understanding that? Reading it forwards. Remind, renew, repent, rest. I've been crucified with Christ. So it's no longer I'm the one that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. How do I do that? I do it by having faith in the Son of God. I'm going His way. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. So again, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, you're feeling, oh my goodness, God has given up on me. No, He loved me and gave Himself for me. Therefore, I can live this life in the flesh by having faith in the Son of God. Because it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living. Because I've been crucified with Christ. And you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This is what we need to teach our homeless people. This is what we need to teach our homosexual people. This is what we need to tell everybody. It's not by trying harder, it's by believing. And not harder, just believing the truth and then acting on it. And you fall down, and you don't do so well, and He says, I died for you. I gave Myself for you. If you knew that you could jump off a 50-story building and it wouldn't hurt you, it might scuff you up a little bit, and you had to do it to save somebody, you'd do it then because you know you weren't going to hurt. But if you thought, well, they're going to die and I'm going to die too, then you wouldn't do it because why take two lives? But if you've been crucified with Christ, you're insulated, so you don't have to be isolated. Woo! Do we want to get this even a little more practical? I think it's as practical as you can get, but let's get a little more practical. Let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Just one verse. Just one verse. Wipes out the curse. Yeah, just one verse. I like it. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now this is talking about people that are saved already. For the one who sows to his own flesh from the flesh will reap corruption. What's it talking about that? It deteriorates in value. It starts bad and gets worse. You loom large. You're sowing to the flesh. You're of the flesh going to reap corruption. You're going to be more miserable. You're going to be not doing the things that you ought to do. You're not going to be growing in Christ, and Christ is not going to be growing in you. Those things will still be true about you if you're a true Christian, but you're going to be big, and He's going to be little. But the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. He said, but I already have eternal life. But it's talking about heaven come to earth. It's talking about things that don't depreciate in value. They're not corrupting, right? Moth and things, rust and corrupt. It's talking about things that can't corrupt. They appreciate in value. Believe me, all the things that you did for Jesus in this life, you will appreciate them more than you ever did in this life. Therefore, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain. Again, sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption, is something that deteriorates in value. The world's ideals. It starts bad and it gets worse. You loom large. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It appreciates in value. It's heaven come to earth. Jesus living big and through us. That is the fruit of the Spirit. You're sowing to the Spirit, you will reap the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says in Galatians 4:19, I prevail again till Christ be formed in you. You start out as a baby, you're born again. These things are true, you know them. But as you learn them, then you experience them, then the fruit of the Spirit just, Amen? My question to you is, which way are you trending? Which way are you trending? Paul says in Galatians 6:14, far be it from me to boast and accept the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We're talking about the crucified life today. Now, thankfully, we can turn around and start going the other way. We can repent. The Bible says that if we are confessing our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We repent, reminding ourselves of this truth. And then we renew our mind, not so that you can try harder, but so you can be free. So you can walk. While you walk, you can rest. I'm getting to my destination, but God is the one that's living in me. I will make it. I may not be going as fast as other people. I may not be going as long and as strong as other people, but I'm going to get there. Why? Because I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Me. Wow. Anybody still hearing me? Again, we remind ourselves of this truth. We renew our minds around this truth. We repent towards this truth. And then we rest in this truth. It's a wonderful thing to rest in this truth. If you're just resting on how well you're doing right now, boy, that's a temporal rest. Sometimes we do so well that God has to let us do not so well so that we trust in Him instead. Sometimes that's why that one besetting sin is still there, because it would spoil you with pride if you got over it. God does want you to get over it, but He wants you to get over you first. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You should memorize that verse. Those four things there, you remind yourself of it. You renew your mind around it. You repent towards it. You go towards it. You say, I know that this is true about me. I'm going that way. I have faith in the Son of God. And then you rest in that. Hallelujah. Doesn't anybody need some rest today? I know just about everybody's story in here. You need some rest today. Again, we renew our mind not so we can try harder, but so we can be free. We can rest while we walk. You got to rightly put your focus on the finished, completed work of Christ and point you away from yourself. Then you find yourself gradually crawling out of the spiritual depression and wanting to do the things God has called you to do. There was somebody's whole sermon that they needed to hear right there. It isn't a result of more law in my life. It's a result of more gospel. Teaching and preaching the law, in other words, what God requires, without the gospel, in other words, what God has done, what does it make you realize? I can't do it. So you give up. But when the remedy to the law, the gospel, is presented, then you have the power to perform the good works because you're free to do so. Only the gift of the gospel gives you the power to obey. If you present the law without the gospel, you realize you don't have any power. I know what to do. I need the power to do it. I have been crucified with Christ. Right? You have the grace. What you need is the faith. Faith. Finishing up now. Law begins with a question as to what man ought to do. Grace begins with a question as to what God has already done. Did you hear that? Law says, what do I have to do? Like the rich young ruler. Grace says, what God has already done. Salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus. I'm going to restore fourfold. I'm going to give back to people, not to get saved, but because I am saved. Hallelujah. What can you take from me? I've got grace. My faith believes it. We're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, is not of works, lest any man should boast. We were saved unto good works, which God preordained that we would walk in them. That's where you find your rest, by walking towards Jesus. It's called faith. Again, law begins asking, what do we have to do? Grace begins by asking, what has God already done? Faith acts on that. But the problem is many think that when the Bible tells us to work out our salvation, it means go out and get what you don't have. I got to go get me some more patience, get me some more strength, some more joy, some more love, and so on. But after we understand the Bible, we read it more carefully, we understand that real gospel fruit happens not as we try and work harder, But only as we continually rediscover the gospel, I have been crucified with Christ. Christ is living in me. I can walk this thing out by faith because He loves me. He gave Himself for me. You could put it this way. Rediscovering the gospel is the hard work we're called to. You see, the secret of the gospel is that we become more spiritually mature when we focus less on what we need to do for God and focus more on all that God has already done for us. The irony of the gospel is that we actually perform better as we grow in understanding of that relationship with God. It is based on Christ's performance for us, not our performance for Him. My relationship is based on the fact that I've been crucified with Christ. He loved me. He gave Himself for me. Therefore, I can know and I can experience the fact that He's living through me, and I can live by faith in the Son of God. Those two phrases in the middle are sanctification. Those two phrases on the outside there of Galatians 2:20 are justification. You understand what I mean? Being saved. The others are growing in grace. And even if the two middle aren't happening, it's because we're not focused on the two outer, we don't really believe it, we're just, you know, playing the motions and all that. But I'm basing my salvation and my sanctification on His performance, not mine. Are you hearing me? One reason we don't grow in ordinary, grateful obedience as we should is we've got amnesia. We forget that we've been cleansed from our sins. You can look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In other words, ongoing failure in sanctification. In other words, it's a slow process. Remember, the Holy Spirit draws us. Draw means it takes time. The slow process of change into Christ's likeness is the direct failure. It's the direct result of failing to remember God's love for us in the gospel. If we lack the comfort and assurance that His love and cleansing are meant to supply, our failures handcuff us to yesterday's sins. We act like the old man. We don't have the faith or courage to fight against them or the love of God that's meant to empower this war. Last scripture we'll look at, and then I will truly close. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. This is an eye-opener for a lot of people because they don't realize the last little bit of this. And when they can tie it to what I'm saying, then it makes a difference in their life. And I pray that it has for me, I know, and I pray that it does for you. Verse 30. And because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Christian growth does not happen first by behaving better, but believing better. And the fact is, you're going out of here today, some of you, and I can see it on your face, and excuse me, not all of you, but some of you, because you don't believe. Like, it's not going to get better with my relationship with this person or that person, because, no. You get you right. You realize that God has made you right. Then you start acting right and realize His power will help you. You remind yourself, I have been crucified with Christ. You renew your mind around the truth. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I can start walking this way. I can turn and repent because the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It's what Jesus would do. How to be spiritual, right? Doing what Jesus would do, right? Lining up with the Word of God. Being in God's will. Then no matter what's happening to you, you will do as Jesus does because you're following Him. Again, Christian growth doesn't happen first by behaving better, but by believing better. Believing in bigger, deeper, brighter ways what Christ has already secured for sinners. We need to rehearse this with one another. And so now we're going to do it. Look at the person next to you. Yeah. Look at the person next to you. If you don't want to claim this, my goodness. And we're going to say this. Are you ready? Find somebody. You see, when it comes practical, it makes us kind of think, doesn't it? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. Amen. We've got to rehearse this with one another. Especially when we're not feeling too good and we want to smack them. Oh yeah, this sermon doesn't hit reality for you or anything like that. Again, we ought to rehearse this with one another. Remember over and over again the past work of Christ's death on the cross saved me and keeps me. We remind ourselves of this truth. We renew our minds around this truth. We repent towards this truth. And then we rest in this truth. We can rest in this truth so that we can repent towards this truth as we remind ourselves and renew our mind about this truth. Grace through faith equals fruit. Again, I have been crucified with Christ. That's a past event. That's our justification. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the present. That's sanctification. He's working this thing. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Again, that's sanctification. Present tense. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, that's past tense. That's justification. Your sanctification, your growing in grace, your God's living big in me is surrounded by the gospel. It's got to be or it's out of order. So, has this become real for you? Is it becoming more real for you? Do you want it to be real for you? Do you want it to be real for you? Do you want to be able to say with Paul and with all Christians that know better, and even if they don't know better, that's true of them? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? But Christ who lives in me. And the life that I do now live in the flesh, I live by having faith in the Son of God. He loves me. He gave himself for me. Father, thank you for loving us so that you would give your Son to die for us while we were yet sinners. Now as we know you, we know that we can turn towards you and live by having faith in you, applying this grace through faith in equaling fruit. That we can know that it's not us, but you that's living through us. Because we've been crucified with our Lord Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.